keeping the lights on in the Nutmeg State. Connecticut's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority Chairman Marissa Gillette chats with Lisa Wexler now on WICC 600.
So joining us right now is Marissa Gillette. She's the chairwoman of our PURA, Public Utility Regulatory Agency Authority. And she will take your questions, your comments, 203-333-9422. Marissa, hello and welcome. How is summer so far for you?
Good morning. Summer is going well. I can't complain. How about yourself?
Well, I just came back from Wellfleet, so what could be bad, really? What could be bad? Do you ever get to? Do you ever spend time? I know you're from further south. Have you ever been to Cape Cod?
No. Oh, well, briefly for a work trip, actually, but I need to take my kids up there. It's very lovely.
It's really it's hard to find a bad part of the Cape. It's, you know, because of the Outer Cape being a national park and there's so many natural ponds and lakes and seashore. It's just so special there. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You love it. Where do you go on your summer vacations? Where's your favorite place? Where do you go?
Well, my parents have recently retired to North Carolina, so we like to take our kids down there so they can spend time with the parents. So that's
do they like
usual.
It there? Are they happy? Do they like
they
it?
They love
there?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, you know, we're transplants from the DC metro area, so they are still getting used to North Carolina, but they really like the, you know, it's a beautiful part of the state. There's, you know, water, golfing, pickleball, which I hear is becoming controversial. So, but what can you not like?
Right. Pickleball has taken over in Westport, and there's a controversy with the local country club and neighbors. Too much noise from those pickleball courts, whatever. Anyway, very first world problems. Marissa, so hello. So it's we're in a sort of a semi-drought, not the worst we've ever seen, but not the best. And the sky looks hazy, but it doesn't quite rain as often as we would like. But how are we doing with respect to our water utilities? Let's just start with that. Anything you want to tell us about our water utilities?
Well, we are, as you mentioned, Lisa, we are in a stage two drought statewide. Mm-hmm. So it's important that folks are conserving water where they can be. Even with the rain overnight, we're nowhere near where we need to be or should be. So it's a good idea for folks to take some steps to voluntarily conserve water right now. You know, cut back on the watering of your lawn, anything that you can do in that nature. Other things related to water utilities that you may have heard of is the Aquarian Water Company filed their notice of intent to seek a rate increase.
Huge. So big one. Mm-hmm. Another big one.
Yes. So we're waiting. We have the notice of intent is a, you know, it's a precursor. So we don't have a lot of the details yet. The application, the formal application has not been filed with us. I think we expect that this week probably. So that's something for folks that are customers of Aquarion to be on the lookout for, because we're going to have lots of information about how the public can get involved in that proceeding.
Well, let me ask you a very dumb question. We're chatting with Marissa Gillette, but I got a question for you. When they're a profit-making enterprise. When they come to you and they say, and they're a monopoly, they're the only water game in town. So when they come to you and they say, we need this increase, do they say X amount of this increase is going to be an increase in our profits and we need the increase in our profits because of X, Y, and Z? In other words, how do they justify the rate increase when you know that once they get the money in, they can cut other expenses and whatever to increase their profit margin, which may make the rest of us feel like suckers?
Yeah, so it's not a dumb question. In fact, we've been working on a lot of little YouTube videos and other tutorials that we're getting ready to launch this week so people have a better understanding of what a rate case is, because they're very black. They can come off as very black box, even to folks that are in, you know, in the thick of things. So I'll be interested in your feedback, you know, next time we talk, if you've had a chance to see any of our materials. And but the short answer to your question is, that's our role in the rate case as a regulator. They're not going to tell us directly, as directly as you just posed the question. They do have a legal right to earn what's called a reasonable rate of return. And this is true across water monopolies, electric, gas monopolies, any monopoly that's regulated by PURA or, you know, an entity like us. So they're going to tell us what their capital expenditures are, so what it costs them to put pipe in the ground in the case of water. They're going to tell us what their operations and maintenance expenses are, and then they're going to mark it up for what they think is a reasonable return on their investment. And then that is going to be one of the many aspects that PURA and our staff and stakeholders dig into in the course of this rate case, which for Aquarion will take 200 days. So we can get into all the details and ask as many questions as we possibly can in that amount of time to figure out if what they're asking for, both in terms of the investment and the profit that they expect to see on it, whether that's reasonable. And there are a lot of legal terms in there. What's reasonable?
I was going to say, is there a rule of thumb? Is it 10%, 12%, 20%? What's a reasonable rate of profit for a company like that? There's got to be a rule of thumb, even if it isn't in black and white. You know, you as an experienced rate regulator, there's got to be a rule of thumb.
Sure, sure. So one of the things that they'll do is, and we'll do is try to compare and contrast what their profit request is compared to similarly situated utilities. So they're, you know, they're going to be water utilities that are like them. What you're trying to gauge is the level of risk. So they need to be able to attract investment from, you know, private investors. So you're trying to figure out what that sweet spot is in terms of what would attract investment in that utility. You can do that many ways, including by comparing their profit to what other utilities get. You're really, the way I like to think of it is you're trying to capture the risk and what the investment would need to be, the profit would need to be to get somebody to put their capital into it.
Okay. We're chatting with Marissa Gillette, the chairwoman of PURA, our public utility regulatory authority here in Connecticut, at 203-333-9422. I did see that Connecticut utility regulators, that would be you, have fined Frontier Communications $5 million for practices associated with something called the reckless installation of fiber optic cable around the state. And you demanded that they halt the work. What's going on here, Marissa? What happened?
Sure. So, you know, we've talked about this before. We do a lot more than just monitor the rates of these companies. We also are charged with making sure that all of the companies that operate in the state abide by what are called call before you dig regulations.
Oh.
So you may have seen billboards that say call Miss Utility or call 811 before you dig. And the reason for that is it can be very damaging to not just the equipment, but to people's lives, their properties. If someone is digging and they accidentally hit an electrical line, right, a gas line, I mean, this can cause major injury and property damage. So we have a whole division of gas engineers who monitor the pipeline safety and call before you dig regulations. And in some of their investigations, they kept coming across violations of the rules and regulations that are in place. And it got to a point where we felt like the fine needed to be issued and the cease and desist order needed to be issued. And that's what we did. And we're waiting to see if Frontier is going to comply. They certainly have a right to request a hearing with us and to appeal. But so far, my understanding is that they have, in fact, you know, complied with the cease and desist order. And we're, you know, waiting to see. They have 30 days to decide what they're going to do.
Wow. So and it says here that they damaged a gas line in Ansonia, and the investigation determined that something called Parkland, was that a subcontractor of Frontier?
Correct.
That they neglected to hand dig and expose the gas service under the driveway while attempting to cross the service as required for trenchless excavation. So they damaged utility conduits. This also happened, you said, in Enfield, Meriden, Stratford, Wallingford, Middletown, a lot of other towns. Not good.
Yes. No, not good. And we're worried that it was so pervasive that we need to collectively take a step back And one of the compliance orders of that decision is that they need to come into us with a remediation strategy, basically prove to us that all the installations they have done are safe and that any that they do moving forward are going to be safe, because I don't think we have that confidence right now.
Okay, Marissa Gillette, here's a very big question, and I'm only going to give you a little bit of time to answer a teeny part of it, because this is going to be an ongoing conversation. Have you been following the proposed, maybe to be passed, enormously billion-dollar-plus climate change bill in Congress? Have you been following that at all?
Mm-hmm.
So what piece of it, if any, do you want to tell us about that will have an impact on us vis-a-vis your role, vis-a-vis generally speaking climate change? Because I know that Pura, I mean, you're in the trenches with a lot of what you do with utility regulation. It's very close to all of our efforts to try and manage climate change. And I'm wondering if there's a piece of the bill that stuck out that you wanted us to know about, or that you thought would be particularly helpful or unhelpful.
Mm-hmm. So, I think this legislation, combined with the Federal Infrastructure Act that came out, the Jobs and Infrastructure Act from last year, what's really great is the governor has appointed Commissioner Mark Boughton as the state's coordinator of our infrastructure investments. And I imagine he'll play a role if the climate legislation currently under consideration is adopted, to make sure that the state's not leaving any money on the table. Because at PURA, like you mentioned, the utilities have a role, but we need to make sure that they're not going after money that is just going to gold plate the system. We want them to be seeking money and tax credits.
What do you mean by gold plate the system? What does that mean?
It basically means, you know, they could underground a stretch of wire, and maybe they picked that stretch and it's never had any issues. Essentially, they're doing everything they can to a part of the system that doesn't really need it and no one's going to really benefit from.
Oh.
So you want them to put the money and the tax credits and all of that towards investments that are going to offset a ratepayer investment, rather than, you know, doing something incremental that's not really needed. So that's what we're going to be focused on and looking to Mark Boughton and the other state agencies to help, especially DEEP, to help make sure that the utilities and all the eligible entities are going after the money that's going to make the most difference.
Okay. Well, maybe we could take this historic investment of money and bury power lines, for example, in places where they can be buried. I mean, that seems to me like a no-brainer. Like a no-brainer. Just saying.
Yep, I think a lot of people agree with you.
Well, I'll get Mark Boughton on the show, and we'll get Katie Dykes on the show, and we'll keep having that conversation. Thank you so much for telling me that. I wasn't aware of Mark Boughton's role. As far as I knew, he was still our tax commissioner, so I'm glad you told me. I didn't know that he was coordinating that. Well, that's good, though.
Okay. He is. He's got both hats on.
All right. Well, that was helpful. Marissa Gillette, you have a great July vacation. Thanks for coming on the show with us on a Monday for a change, and we'll have you back on a Wednesday next month again. And enjoy your time with your family and your parents in North Carolina.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. Stay tuned.